What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. We're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I am here with Paul.
What up?
We are coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're going to be talking all about the results of UFC 253, the championship doubleheader. We're also going to take a look ahead to UFC's Fight Night Abu Dhabi, headlined by Holm versus Aldana. We're going to talk about Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, boxing with Manny Pacquiao, Conor McGregor again there, and the incredible performance that was put on by the Charlo twins this last weekend, Paul. But before we get into all that cool shit, fire it up. Let's get started with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, today we are smoking on two different kinds of flower, plus some terp diamonds that Paul's got there in the packs three. For flower today, we've got the old standby of GG number four, and we are adding some Platinum OG into the mix, Paul. Platinum OG, originally created by Apothecary Genetics, is a 75-25% indica, so not quite a pure indica, but close. It is a three-way cross of Master Kush, OG Kush, and a mystery strain that most people these days think comes from the Perps line.
Okay.
That's Sativa that's in there, that little bit. Uh-huh. Let me hit these diamonds. That comes from the Master Kush has a little bit of Skunk Number One in its lineage, so we get a little bit of Sativa in the mix from there.
I feel it.
But it's a strong, heavy bud, super dense, super trichomy. So both of the flower we got today is just super, super sticky, icky.
Yep. They're all super dense, too.
What do you think of these diamonds, man?
Oh, yeah, I've been fucking...
I prefer hitting the PAX 3 over the dab rig just because I don't cough nonstop. Dab rigs always make me cough. I'm guessing you're the other way around, right?
I feel like that... That's cool, don't get me wrong, but I feel like I gotta hit that for a while, whereas just take it to the head with a rig.
Sure. I once got like 17 hits off a fucking terp diamond in this thing, though.
Yeah.
And what in a dab rig would have been like, you know,
yeah, one. Yeah, fucked your whole life up.
Probably.
Yeah.
Either way, I like the PAX 3, though. Now, we're going to get into this weed here in a little bit while we're smoking this, but let's go ahead and talk about UFC 253.
Crazy event.
It was a crazy event. There was some good fights there. The card was, it ended well.
It lived up to some lower expectations. Like, the expectation outside the championship fight were low, but I thought the whole card as a whole was pretty good.
It was pretty good. That's hitting good now. I'll pass that back over to you. Let's start at the top. Well, no, actually, I take that back. Let's start at fight number three, which was a flyweight contest that wound up being fight of the night.
Yeah.
Fight number three, I mean on the main card, third from the header.
Yeah.
And I saw Brandon Royval versus, how do you say his name, Kai Car France.
Yeah.
Which I expected him to win. Yeah. He was definitely the local.
It's a great fight.
You know, he's a good favorite on there. And I was a little suspect of Royval's win over Tim Elliott just because, I mean, Tim Elliott's a little bit on the downswing now. His record is like 2-4 in the UFC. I love the guy. I like his fight style, but I don't know how much a win over him counts these days.
Yeah.
So I really expected him to lose, and he came in, and, I mean, it was a great fight. And then he winds up getting the sub.
I mean, it was one of those ones where it was just two guys flowing the whole time. Not really too technical or too, like... You know what I mean? It was like balls to the wall, like fucking guys throwing shit out of their ass that they've never...
It was something the flyweights needed. They needed a big fight like that in a fairly marquee spot on a pay-per-view.
Like that double knockdown in the first round.
Yeah, they get a double knockdown in the first round.
And then I think Brandon Royval hit him with something like 4 or 5 spinning back fists or elbows.
Yeah, he hit one that was going to be an elbow, and then he just extended it out to a back fist when he was out of range. It was very... very exciting fight. And
ultimately gets a submission as well, which his submission game is where he's always, that's his specialty. So for him to show a lot of improvement in you know, versatility in his striking, and then also go and get it done with his bread and butter at the end of the day, you know. It's great for this division, you know. 125 is kind of, like we were just saying, it's kind of been on the downswing in popularity because of the whole mysteriousness of it being a division in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so the UFC's been weird with it, but this fight was good for them, and good for Brandon Royval, absolutely. I'm very curious who he'll get matched up with next, because he looks to be a great, you know, a great contender in this division.
I'd like to see him versus Brandon Moreno.
Yeah, that'd be a good fight.
Here's the deal, though. That was such a great fight, too, that I don't think that necessarily hurts Kai Kara France too bad, either. Like, he showed some great things in there as well. And he has a name, because this fucking, this pay-per-view did well. Like, from everything I've read, that this did pretty damn well. So, it's huge for those kind of guys, you know, because, like, with there only being, like, 20 guys in 125 in the UFC right now, like, one hurt loss is not going to end your career.
No.
You know?
No, France will be around. He's fine. Yeah, and they got the fight of the night. Yeah. Now, for me, Paul, the way this card kind of went, there's some good we can talk about and there's some bad. And since this fight was good, I'd like to continue with the rest of the good card. And let's circle back down to these last two fights that were, had some things about them that neither one of us really liked. So let's go ahead to the co-main event, which was for the vacant 205-pound strap that John Jones relinquished, which saw the heavily favored Dominic Reyes get KTFO'd by the Polish power of Jan. And an amazing, like, and Jan did great.
I was gonna say, it wasn't just like the Corey Anderson fight either, like where like he was close and then he got the knockout. Jan was winning this fight every moment.
Absolutely.
Like, it was good. It was a great performance.
Do you think this kind of exposed Reyes a little bit?
I don't know if it exposed him or if he came in too confident. Because, like, let's be honest, the performance he put on against John Jones is a performance of a lifetime. So, I mean, was that a fluke or was he overlooking Jan? Came in too big of a head and just, you know, got outclassed. It happens.
I think it happens, and I think if you look at his past statements, it shows he's a little bit – I mean, every fighter's got a big head, but sometimes you go too far. I mean, like, before the Jones fight, he lived up to what he said, but he said some outlandish things, like he was the greatest athlete that Jones had ever faced. Like, Jones has fought – Cormier's an Olympic wrestler. I mean, he's fought a D1 or football player before.
He's fought fucking Rampage, who was also a wrestler, too.
Exactly. And
he was a specimen as well.
That led to some kind of brutal social media post by John Jones after the fight, you know, about the Apple Valley champ.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
John Jones' troll game is on point.
Yeah, it's on point.
But, Reyes got his ass kicked all over the place, and it sucks. If we weren't in the middle of this pandemic, this is a fight I would have bet because I would have had some extra money.
Yeah.
And I would have bet on the Polish power in this fight. And I think at one point he was plus 285.
Jesus.
Get cleaned up with that, man. But we talked about it last week. This isn't a surprise to you and I. We both picked him last week. Basically what we said would happened was Reyes came in looking a little too cocky and looking past him, thinking he's the uncrowned champ. And he got outclassed.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is like Dominic didn't really do anything like terrible technique wise. Like, what ended up happening is, so he came in with a high guard and Jan noticed that right away and just went to town on his body with the kicks. Literally hit him with probably 8 or 9 body kicks in the first round. Goes into the second round with a huge welt on his body already.
The welt looked like somebody hit him with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like his skin was a little red. It looked like it was bleeding from kicks.
Yep. So then in the second round, of course, comes out and then just finishes him off, which was ridiculous. It was just a masterclass by Jan. He shocked the world. It was the biggest moment of his life.
Becomes the second Polish champion in the UFC, and I think ever, after Joanna Jędrzejczyk, at least in the UFC.
Yeah.
He got a very, very massive welcome home in Poland, I saw. So good for him. He's a real humble guy, man. He's got a wife, super pregnant, kid on the way.
Yep.
Living, I think,
out
it's
in there.
Good for him.
There.
I think the division could use something like that after Jones and Cormier for so long. A guy who's definitely different.
Here's my issue.
I don't know how long he'll last.
I was going to say, that's my issue with what you're saying here. He's like, I don't necessarily know how long he's going to continue to be champion with the guys in that division.
Well, it's mainly because Thiago Santos, right? I mean, that's what we're both thinking. Well, he's got a knockout victory over Jan in the past.
Not only Thiago, though. There's other guys in the division, I feel like, that would give Jan a run for his money. Like, let's just say, here's a perfect example. Someone who's beat Jan on multiple occasions, who just moved to heavyweight, is Alexander Gustafsson, who's literally whooped Jan's ass on twice. It was like literally two completely dominant performances.
Indeed.
Why would he not just drop back to 205 and hold that over his head? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's guys at 205 that Jan's fought that he's had some tough times with that maybe, don't get me wrong, there's definitely a hint, or more than a hint, but there's definitely a progression in his career. This is definitely the best version of Jan we've ever seen. But at the same time, is that best version better than someone like Thiago Santos' best version, or if he moves back down, Gustafsson's best version, or even if Jones eventually were to, I don't think it's going to happen, but if Jones were to move back to 205, is he beat the best version of Jones? I don't think so.
We'll see how this plays out. For now,
though,
good job, Jan. Yeah. Hell of a fight. Some statements in the last wins here.
Yeah.
And
well, now
with Reyes, he needs to come back with a strong win here.
Yeah.
Now he's got back-to-back losses. He really can't go around with the uncrowned champ attitude anymore.
I think he gets the loser of Thiago Santos and Teixeira, and I think Jan gets the winner.
Yeah, that would make sense. I like both of those bouts, however they play out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the headliner, which is the 185-pound title, Israel Adesanya versus...
Want to talk about a masterclass.
Yeah, Paulo Costa, both undefeated.
Yeah.
Costa talked a lot of trash coming into this fight. And then second round TKO, Israel Adesanya.
Yep.
Worked him from head to toe, knocked him out.
Started low, chopped him down.
Humped him, left him ass in the air. And then got behind him and humped him right on.
Claimed his land on him.
Yeah. And then went over to his
corner and
rolled
the dice in his face.
Well, no, he wasn't rolling the dice. A very special roll in the dice. Yeah.
For the kids at home, he was rolling the dice.
And for the uninitiated, yeah, he jerked off in his hand and threw it all over their face and said, I'm going to come all over you, which is really weird.
It's weird. But
those are odd things to do if you haven't been in prison for a long time.
Here's the thing.
But whatever, man. He whooped that ass.
It's culture now. It's that's like, those are the jokes.
Oh, I mean, I get it.
Like, it's troll shit. It's all troll shit with Izzy. That's what I love about Izzy. He knows how to troll people, and he just goes to every single length to do it. Like, perfect example. His first UFC fight, when he walked in the octagon, knocked him out, and then pretended like he whipped out his dick and pissed all over the ground.
I remember, yeah. I like that. I was mark your territory, bitch.
That's him doing the same thing now, just on a whole nother level.
Well, it's partly Costa's fault, because, like, you really shouldn't be face down, ass up on the canvas if you can avoid it. Roll over to your side, sir, please.
Not only that, you shouldn't be actively taunting someone in a fight you're losing.
Yeah, he was taunting during the fight that he was getting his ass kicked in. Yeah. Slapping his own leg, which was getting destroyed by Adesanya's kicks.
He's like, come
on,
do it again. Like, you don't want him to
do it. Costa looks a fool here.
Yeah.
Adesanya, the worst, I think you can say, it was a bit crass. I mean, and who cares? These are cage fighters. I thought it was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about my fighters being crass. I don't think my fighters should be role models, so I really don't fucking care.
Yeah, so, here's the thing. Is if you talk a bunch of shit, get ready to get fucking all the shit you talked thrown back in your face. You know what I mean? That's the thing with talking shit. Is when you talk shit, you better be able to back it up, because if you don't back it up, you're gonna hear every bit
otherwise
of it
you're
on
gonna
the
you're gonna get your ass humped when you're left ass up face down in the fucking canvas. Adesanya gonna come by and bone you real quick.
Yeah, and he didn't even get up for he didn't get up for a while. For a second, it looked like it was like, it's kind of an iffy stoppage. Yeah. And then he just stayed down the whole time. And I was like, maybe it wasn't.
No, he was down and humiliated, and that's going to forever be a meme. And he's already super salty about it. I mean, 2 days later, he releases a video. One day later, after he sees what Adesanya did, and he's all upset
now. He's all up in arms about, you think you crossed the line before. Okay, bro.
Yeah, dude. No, no, you're not getting a rematch because Adesanya air humped you, dude. Like, come on, dude.
You better earn it. You know what? Rematch, I think, does make sense, though. Huh. I think him and Yoel should run it back.
Yeah, I think that rematch does make sense if Yoel's still fighting. Yeah,
run that back. I'm down as fuck for that. Yeah. But Izzy, again, I just don't think. Here's the thing. I don't understand what people think. Like, I don't think. Like, it doesn't make any sense what people are thinking when they step into the octagon with him. All these people talk all this shit about, oh, you run away, you do this, you do that. Do you not understand that this man is a fucking veteran inside the kickboxing world? He's going to fight. That's how kickboxers fight. You take the first round, and that's when you feel out your opponent, you look for weaknesses, and you look for openings. And then you set up, whether it be leg kicks or a jab or whichever is working for you, you know?
Right.
And then from there on is when you pick apart the weaknesses. And for people to sit there and go, oh, well, he's – like, people are already talking shit after the first round. The first round, everyone's like, oh, here we go again. Yoel versus Israel all over again. Mm-mm. Blah, 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 blah. No, motherfucker. He was feeling him out and seeing what he was going to do and where he could find his openings to strike. And then what did he do? The second round, first round, he chopped him down in the front leg. And so – and then you look, watch what happens
in the
second round.
That's how you take the power away, for those that don't know. You work those legs, and if you can't plant your feet and shift your weight right, you're going to lose a lot of power on your punches.
Well, not only that, is mentally it's fucking with him, because not only is he losing power off his front leg, but then mentally he's going, okay, now I need to defend this leg kick. Mm-hmm. So then,
and it hurts like a son of a bitch.
Yeah. So then what Israel started doing is he started going to the switch kick where he was faking low, going high, and he caught him with three flush. Fucking rocked his world, bro. And then obviously that all set up his striking, and he just went to town. Like people don't understand. Like, he was setting him up. It's the first round.
A lot of people don't realize. And a lot of fighters don't seem to realize. But maybe they just don't want to give credit to. But this was this win marked Adesanya's 100th win in a professional combat sports fight.
That's
not jiu-jitsu. We're talking about boxing, kickboxing, and MMA. That was his 100th win.
Yeah, I think he was like 75-6 in kickboxing, 5-1 as a boxer, and then 20-0 as a.
He's right in the range of those numbers. Yeah. So he's not just a 19-0 fighter. He's very well seasoned.
Absolutely.
And when you don't present any type of takedown problems for him, you're basically in a kickboxing match.
Well, it's funny how you're going to go into the weigh-in and throw a fucking white belt in his face and then not even try to take him down once or push him on the cage. There was multiple times where Izzy let Paulo walk him down all the way to the cage, and then it turned into offense from Israel exploding forward instead of Mr. Black Belt in Jiu-Jitsu taking it to the grappling world.
Sure. I think Israel's power surprised him, too. He must have really bought into that skinny guy has no power bullshit.
Yeah, it's not.
He's not that skinny. Yeah. I mean, he's very lanky. He's 6'4".
Hey, dude, he looked bigger in this fight.
He did. And, dude, power like that has nothing to do with your muscles. Like,
no.
And it doesn't matter if you want to look at Conor McGregor's not a spectacularly muscly guy. Look at Roy Nelson. He was, for a period in time, knocking fools out. And he has, like, no defined muscles and a pot belly. That's not what it's about.
It's placement. It's about technique.
And some people just have natural power despite the size of their muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gym muscles don't necessarily equal fucking power punches.
No.
So Israel has power. I think Costa felt that and was like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah. But I don't even know if it was that. I feel like he felt how solid he was. Because here's what people don't understand. A fucking low leg kick to the calf feels like getting hit in the fucking leg with a bat.
You know what I mean?
And, like, I feel like that boniness is also, it may be there, but it's also kind of a skill. Like how John Jones is, too, the same way.
It turns that lower leg into a whip.
That boniness freaking turns bone on bone. Bone on bone every time he's leg kicking.
Or that bone to the back of the calf muscle there. Oh, dude.
Dude.
Bro. Or even to this. I mean, let's go back to the Reyes fight. Folks, listen, if you haven't seen it, just Google Dominic Reyes side after that fight and look at the photos. You're not going to believe that came from like three kicks.
Polish power.
Uh-huh. That's a real deal.
But yeah.
But Adesanya, short work. Yeah. Talked mad shit. Still talking shit on social media shit. Several days later, rubbing it in.
I love it.
And I don't mind it either because Costa was running his mouth a long time. So
I just bought a new Rolls Royce. The police asked me, how do you afford this? I don't know. It costs a lot.
Oh, that's good.
Shit was rough.
That's good shit.
And then he posted a picture of him holding an L and he said, Costa, come hold this for me. Oh, man. It's fucking funny.
Next up for him is looking to be Jared Cannonier.
I think either that or the winner of the Robert Whittaker and Jared Cannonier fight. Because, I mean, how would you really deny Rob a rematch after?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is overlooking Rob a little bit.
But defending the belt.
The general consensus was it's going to be Cannonier
Till,
next.
And then, I think it's just the winner of that fight. Yeah, I think Cannonier is the one that's getting the hype behind it because he's the one who's, not fought Izzy. He's like
Cannonier, not called him out, but said he's next.
Well, no, not only that, but it's like he's the only one really left that Izzy hasn't either fought or isn't in range to fight. Like he hasn't fought Jack Hermanson, but like in all reality, is Jack Hermanson getting a title shot tomorrow? Probably not.
No, he needs to do something else.
Yeah.
Before he gets that,
he
handled Gastelum.
He's fighting Till in December, remember?
Yeah, he beats Till and Gastelum both. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jack.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, but I think obviously the winner, Cannonier Whittaker, gets the shot.
I don't know if they do Whittaker again, but maybe we'll see.
I don't see why not. Think about it. You got a guy who defended the belt 3 times. Freaking, he was a dominant champion. It wasn't like he was out of the fight with Izzy. He just got caught.
Yeah.
He wasn't like outclassed. The first round was close. It was a lot of trading. It was a lot of Israel just picked his shots and hit him in the perfect places. So I don't think there's like no hype there for them to rematch. I think it would make the only sense.
We'll see here. He seems to like to stay busy. So hopefully we get another one before the year ends. Yeah.
I would hope.
We'll see what happens there. That rounds out the top of the card. Now let's talk about these other two fights that we had some, things to. I didn't like in both fights, and they were.
There's three different fights, man.
There's three different fights.
So it was Zubaira versus Hakeem Duwadu, and then Shane Young versus. I'm sorry, his name's rough to say. I can't remember his name.
I can't either.
It's hard to say.
It's a tough one, but yeah.
But yeah. Both guys come in way overweight. Don't make the weight at all, like close at all. And then go in. Zubaira gets his ass beat, so it's like it's not as flagrant with him. But then the other guy knocked Shane Young out viciously with a head kick. I get it, it was 5 days notice.
Yeah, I'll give
him
a small bit of leeway because he came in on a short notice fight when the UFC's desperate right now with this Abu Dhabi shit. It was 5 days. Whenever he still agreed to make the weight and he missed it.
Exactly.
The other guy, Zubarov, who, if folks don't remember, in the great battle after the Conor McGregor-Khabib Nurmagomedov fight, he was the guy in the red t-shirt that ran up behind Conor after the fight and straight hit him from behind like a bitch.
And then got two-pieced up.
So that was the guy. He comes in 5 pounds overweight. Yeah. I guess four technically, but I mean, it's 145. You're allowed to hit 146. He comes in at 150. He's got 90 minutes still before it's finalized. He can still cut weight, and he's like,
nah, it's cool. I'll just fight. Which is just bullshit. So you're just going to cheat.
You're just cheating at this point. Yep. That's what you're doing. You're openly being like, F you.
Hakeem Duwadu made him feel every single bit of those 4 pounds.
Yeah. He pieced him up.
Bad.
It was a good fight.
Not close at all, I didn't think.
No. I didn't think it was either.
Like, it was 29-28. I thought it was 30-27.
I thought it was as well.
I was like, I don't know how you see him winning any of those rounds.
That dude just ran away a lot.
Yeah. At 15 seconds left in the fight, Duwadu was so fucking frustrated with him running away. He said, you want to fucking fight or not? Let's fucking fight. He kept chasing him down the whole octagon saying, let's fucking fight.
Dropping his hands and just
dropping his hands like,
down.
Fucking fight me. He was like, not. But, yeah, man.
It was an embarrassing performance, and he got his ass kicked.
Showed up and missed weight. Yep. So, on the other side, though, let's talk about this for a second. So, yeah, I get what you're saying with the 5 days notice. But, although, here's the deal. if it's going to be, if you know you're going to miss weight like this the night before the fight, what you should do is call your promoter, tell him you're going to miss weight. Then they reschedule the fight, or you fight at that weight class up, and then Shane Young gets a call where they say, okay, well, now you're fighting at a catchweight bout at 150, or you're going to move up to 155 and fight this guy at 155. And he's going to say yes or no, and then he's either going to get the fight or not get the fight. But he's not going to go into a fight with a guy who didn't have to go through the struggles and all the bullshit to make the weight,
right,
and drain your body, and then turn around and have to fight someone who didn't have to go through those struggles to drain his body. Instead, he chose to stop and just get some of his money taken away.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bullshit. Fight before the fight, and it's hard work.
Yeah.
And it can be depleting on your performance. And to just fuck it off. Like, that dude was so overweight, it didn't sound like he was cutting all week. No. I mean, dude, I'm sorry, there's but no that's way. Halfway to the 155-pound class, for goodness sakes. Like, we have weight divisions for a reason. Mm-hmm. Coming in at 150. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah.
Like, that dude signed a contract.
If you're like 25 pounds out,
fuck that.
If you're like, because if he water cut and got to 5 pounds over, that means he was probably sitting at a good 15 to 20 pounds over the night before.
I mean, you know, there's guys like Chris Weidman who famously took that short notice fight against Damon Maia, remember?
Yeah.
When he was coming up. Mm-hmm. And he made weight and he cut like 35 pounds in 6 days, dude.
Masvidal cut 25 pounds in 7 days.
Yeah, so it can be done, even on the short notice fights. You just got
to. You have to be professional. You have to be a fucking. You signed a contract. You promised to make a weight class and be somewhere on that date ready to fight.
No, I agree.
And if you don't hold up your end, they should take a whole lot more than 30%, because you're taking more than 30% away from this guy's career when you just beat him because you're fresh and he's tired.
We had Israel Adesanya approaching Dana White right after the fight in the cage, saying that he wants to see fighters like that, because, you know, that dude Shane is from his gym.
Yeah.
You know, lose 90% of their purse. I could see something more. That seems still a bit excessive to me, and I think there should be a clause. If you take a short notice fight, you can't lose 90% of your purse if you're overweight. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, here's the deal. It shouldn't be
there has to
90% of your purse, but there should be a standard fine that is over 30% for missing weight.
It should be at least 50%. If you're, because isn't the fight before the fight half the job?
50%. Well, no, 50%,
isn't it half the work?
Exactly. Yeah, 50% makes sense, because then also you're taking 50% from whoever you beat if you're on the lower level. There's no way those guys are getting anything but win and show money. So you took his win money because you miss weight. And you came in fresh and he didn't.
Exactly. So I think 50% is pretty damn fair still.
It is.
It's
bullshit.
And this and I think there needs to be, there's sometimes guys come in and take these fights with like 1 or 2 day notice. You can't put them to the exact same standard. Like,
that's different.
You know, 5 days is maybe that's the most.
Well,
but
no, because these 24 hour notice fighters can't be held to
50% of their
purse. 24 hour notice is bullshit, because that's on the promotion. Because if you're signing a guy on 24 to 48 hours notice, he needs to be able to be in weight range for you to sign him for a fight.
Right.
This wouldn't make any sense. But you know what I'm saying? It's out of control. You got a lot of guys who, what we're talking about in the last 2 years, something like 14 to like 6 as far as like wins to losses of guys overweight compared to guys that come in underweight and still win the fight.
Right.
So it's like you can look at the numbers, man. Like, the numbers are there. All these guys who are missing weight are winning their fights.
Now, it's the commission that handles or hands out the penalties, I believe, but the UFC could fill the gap in between the 30 and the 50% and find them an additional 20 or something like that. You know what
true,
I mean?
True.
They could set their own rule and just enforce it however they need to in between, because they're the one that ultimately issues the paycheck. So
that
they
is
could
true.
Issue a fine right there.
They should, because it's bullshit.
Need to do something. It's a
especially on the lower, like, and here's the thing is, like, it's not happening at the top of the game, because the top of the game, those guys are coming in, you know, like, that's different.
Yeah,
it's
they have to make championship weight on a lot of them.
It's
happening
in these, like, 13 versus 15 fights and, like, you know, these 12 versus 11 and, like, these unranked guys, but that are on, like, that 18 to, like, 25 top, you know, rank. level.
These fights are very consequential for those
guys.
Dude,
yeah, those fights are make or break it for a lot of guys' careers. Too. Yeah.
But this is why a lot of these guys are going to cheat like that. Because, look, even if you get fined 30%, if you win,
you're still coming out more. Yeah.
You're still gaining an extra 20% or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still getting 80% of the what you were going to get before.
Yeah.
It's
70%.
It's worth it, you know, if you win. And frankly, most of the time, the fighter who comes in overweight wins. Mm-hmm. I don't have the stats in front of me.
I think it was like 14-8.
We've talked about this a lot, yeah. And you can see it. Like, sometimes I want, when I see weigh-ins, I want to go fucking run and bet on whoever came in overweight. Because a lot of times they win.
Well, because you're like almost a different weight class, man.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It just doesn't make any sense.
They have that shit for a reason. When skill levels are so fucking close, things like size and weight wind up mattering.
Absolutely.
So, it's bullshit. Hopefully the UFC does something.
So
let's talk about the other,
let's keep the train on moving on the sad shit of the
card. I don't like this for a whole different reason. We're talking about the Diego Sanchez-Jake Matthews fight at 170 pounds. I saw Jake Matthews just kick Diego Sanchez's ass six ways from Sunday.
Yeah. And then Diego with some questionable techniques and
dude, I tweeted it out in the middle of the fight.
And a hilarious reenactment of the Jorge Masvidal fucking Ben Askren knee that just went horribly for
that was
Diego.
Embarrassing. He started off, what, round two with this exact imitation?
Yeah, he like put his hands on his back, went against the fence, ran up, and then just missed.
He was leaning forward in the second round pre-bell ringing, just like Masvidal, except Diego came in so out of shape.
And he was so
slow. He's just jiggling all over the fucking place on the cage while he's leaning forward. You can see his fucking belly leaning over. His tits are fucking drooping all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. You're a professional fighter and used to be in shape. Like, what is going on in your camp, dude, when you're coming into fights looking like this? Because in my opinion, he was gassed out in the first round. I thought he looked terrible. The only thing he seemed to know how to do was throw a couple overhand punches while rushing forward. Which, once you learn how to avoid that, then you can basically piece his ass up just like Jake Matthews did.
Yeah. I mean, if you have any shred of grappling, Diego's in for a long night.
And for those of you listening that don't know, Diego ditched his A-plus coaching staff several fights ago and went with this.
Is he still with that fool?
Yeah. He tried to put him out of the limelight here and stick Stefan Bonner up front, but the guy's still there. This Josh, what's his name?
Josh Fabia? Yeah.
I mean, he runs like a motivational thing. He's not a fighter. He knows jack squat about MMA.
And he got into some weird beef with the media after.
Yeah, he went all crazy after the last fight, which Diego wins by disqualification after getting his ass kicked the whole fight.
It was a questionable legal knee. Like, it wasn't even that bad. Like,
I mean, look, Diego Sanchez won the Ultimate Fighter 1, for goodness sakes. He has a legacy.
He said he wants to finish his 4-fight deal with the UFC.
Please don't. Please stop.
True.
Because you have this terrible combination, in my opinion, Paul, of a fighter on the decline mixed up with this horrible change in coaching that's clearly leading him astray.
Yeah.
And not only astray, but he somehow, like, he came out of that Piera fight thinking that he had done good.
That he had, just
like, he posted so much shit about what a ninja he was. Mayweather style. Fucking slips, rips.
It was
delusional, and his coach lost his mind.
Yeah, went off on Ariel Helwani, who was like the only one who like kind of defended him, but didn't defend him. Like,
right,
you know?
Helwani was the one who was fairly nice to.
Yeah,
this guy.
He was like, I can't. He always was like the one I can't question someone's camp. Like, that's their.
Well, I can. It's just my opinion. What do I know? But the dude's a lunatic, I think. Like,
dude, you see the footage that came out this week of him chasing Emil Mech around the octagon
at
the Performance Center with a knife?
Yes, I did. Emil released it. Like, okay, because fucking Diego's on social media
like
trying
Diego,
to say that it
him,
didn't happen.
And I think it was like fucking Belial Muhammad or something like that.
Yeah, this guy. No, no. Diego, please stop, because you're getting worked, dude, by people who have power, and I hate to see it.
And Jake Matthews is no world beater. He's a good fighter, don't get me wrong, but he's not like a fucking championship.
Yeah, this guy's
fighter.
Not like top five fighter.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's on his way back. Yeah, he's on his way back. He spent a little time at 55, but now 70. He's like where he's really found.
Yeah, and
he's
growing. He's
grown into that that body.
He's still young. He's like 26, even though he's been fighting a while.
He's been fighting for a minute.
So, because he turned pro at like 18, I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It was really young.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
He's been in the UFC for a while.
Yeah. because I remember him being like super young and everybody was like hyping him up. And now, you know, he kind of fell off after a couple losses. But, but dude, he worked Diego, left him a bloody mess, opened him up with elbows to the face from, you know, from ground and pound. Diego did nothing that I thought was good.
Nothing impressive, no.
And I didn't understand the commentary during that fight because literally you had John Anik like saying how Diego had looked so much better under Josh Fabius' tutelage these last few fights, which is just insane. Yeah. There's no way you can justify saying that unless you're trying, the UFC told him to appease this guy or something. I mean, that's a lunatic statement. Like,
absolutely. Makes no sense.
Nobody can agree. Nobody can fucking agree with that.
Yeah. And so, they're like, well, how do you say he's not when he's 4-1 his last five? And it's like, not necessarily, because fucking, if you look at it, the only real good fight that he had was when he had nobody in his quarter.
Right, and he knows how to fight. Mickey he's Dahl. A skilled fighter.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose all the skill because he left Albuquerque. But he's been declining now, fight after fight. He's getting worse.
It's not even that either. It's like he also needs insight. He can't just go in there and be like, all right, I got this all myself.
Right. And it's showing. He started out okay. He won a couple. Yeah. And then now he's progressively getting worse.
Dude.
To now just straight ass
kickings. I want to say one thing, though, as well. Is I did not see the Stone Cold Stunner get initiated for fucking Diego to end Jake Matthews' life, you know?
Do you think the commission was warned about his super secret ninja move that could cause death in the octagon again?
Bro, he told the commission, literally, that's what he described to them, right? The move, it was Stone Cold Stunner, bro.
That's what I mean. He's entrusted his fighting future to a guy who's
claiming that Stone Cold Stunner's killing people.
I mean, talk about a bullshit artist, man. And it sucks to see it. Again, it's just opinion here, but in my opinion, Diego's been conned by somebody who's a con artist, who's selling con artist shit before he met Diego.
Yep.
And then somehow figured out a way.
The dick twist, dude. The dick twist. Oh, Lord, dude. He teaches the dick twist. Remember I sent you the video?
Oh, my God. I actually forgot all about the dick twist, dude.
He teaches I don't know dick twist.
Say. You want to explain it to our listeners?
Dude, he has some kind of move where you fucking take the dude down, you fucking dick twist him. Literally.
To grab and twist. That's his ninja shit. I don't know. Poor Diego. I wish he'd stop fighting. I have respect for Diego Sanchez. It probably sounds like I'm clowning him, but.
I am.
Dude, you need to look at reality. This is fighting. It's not like you're out there on the basketball court missing shots, bro.
Yeah.
You're not clinging to the fucking old glory. This is fighting. You're getting your ass kicked badly.
It's like football. When you're out, you need to get out because you're going to get hurt.
And Diego may still be fairly young age-wise, but he's very old fighting-wise.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean,
he's still old age-wise. He's like fucking almost 40.
Yeah. And he's really old fight-wise.
Yeah, fuck, man.
Dude, please.
Get out.
That's why I didn't like that fight, because we're looking at a guy who shouldn't even be in that fight coming in out of shape, clearly out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy had arm flab. It looked like my grandpa's arm.
I was rough, like, dude, man.
You're
terrible.
He looked gassed. I mean, he managed to keep going, but he looked gassed to me in the first round. Like, he was breathing heavy.
He was done, son.
He was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a rough outing.
This is not
for
UFC
him, huh?
Level shit here from Diego. And then he says he wants to finish all four. I hope not, man. I hope not. That about rounds out that card.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick look here to round out the UFC coverage today. There's not much to talk about on next week's card out of Abu Dhabi. It's a fight night card. We're getting Holly Holm. I like Holly.
Two good fights at the top of the card, though.
Yeah. Holly's good.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's fighting someone in Aldana who was scheduled to fight Amanda Nunes, I believe.
Yeah, and something happened.
And it fell out during the COVID and everything else.
But either way, big fight here. The real question here is, if Holly beats Aldana, does she get another title shot?
Dude, it pains me to say this. I like Holly Holm a lot. I have so much respect for her. Coming from boxing like I have respect for her. I mean, Holly's great, man, and she's really super well accomplished. And outside of Amanda Nunes, she might be one of the most, maybe the most accomplished combat sports female athlete around.
Mm-hmm. But
But no, man, you can't give her another title shot.
Nah. I mean, unless someone else was champion.
Yeah, that's the case.
Yeah.
She going to go fight Amanda again? No. Nah. It doesn't matter at what weight class it is.
But I do think Aldana has a good chance of winning this fight.
I'm stoned right now. Does Holly have an Olympic credentials?
I don't know. I know she has multiple boxing.
She has like 18 world championships in boxing, you know.
She's got a UFC championship.
And she has a UFC championship. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if she has Olympic credentials. Anyways, so I could be wrong in her decoration levels, but whatever. Mm-hmm. She's very well respected, as she should be.
Sure.
She's an
Absolutely.
Excellent fighter. Her problem is Amanda Nunes is the champ in both divisions right now.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat her. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
And there's nothing to shameful about that.
Nah.
She's the greatest
MMA man.
Fighter
yeah.
around. Female.
Female, yeah.
The GOAT.
Female GOAT.
She'll whoop up on Cyborg. She'll whoop up on anybody else.
She's a double G GOAT. The girl GOAT.
She might be able to even beat that giant Gabby girl.
Garcia, for sure.
I mean, she's on a skill level, for sure, but I mean, Gabby's big as fuck.
So, she got tapped on McKenzie.
Amanda Nunes probably fucking jack her up. Yeah, she did get tapped by McKenzie in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So, who are you taking, Holm or Aldana?
I'm taking Holm.
I'm taking Aldana.
Are you?
By decision.
Yeah, by the decision. The co-main event's kind of interesting. We got Dream.
Co-main event kind of seems like who's going to be the number two contender.
Now, I could see the winner of this fight getting a title shot here.
I think Aldana gets Randa Main
versus Aldana might get a win against Holly.
Yeah.
But if Holly wins, then I think the winner of this the co-main here, which is GDR versus Juliana Pena.
Well, I think this is another case of I don't think GDR is getting a third fight with freaking.
I hope not to that too,
Amanda.
Actually,
but I do think Pena could get a fight with Amanda.
Yeah, I think Pena wins this.
I do too.
I
think her grappling's too good for Duranda May.
I'm a hater, dude. I don't like GDR.
I know you don't.
I don't hide it. I'm like super biased about it. So, I mean, I discount her fucking skills all the time just because
she's
I'm like,
good, man.
I'm biased against her.
She's like, got power in her hands, though. You have to watch out for her.
She has skills. She's getting up there in age. I think Pena's wrestling will be too much, though.
I do, too.
Pena's wrestling is really strong.
I think Pena tapped
And she's got really, she's got strong ground to pound, too.
Absolutely.
And she's hungry.
Pena by submission, round three.
Yeah, I've been impressed with her since her days on the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, shit, that's only a 3-round fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll take her out in the third.
She's been out for a little while, hasn't she?
No, she came back since then. She's had a couple good wins.
All right, well, I think...
But she was in Invicta for a while.
I'm picking Holly to win and then Pena to win and get the title shot.
I'll take Aldana and Pena, and then we'll see who gets the belt. Maybe they fight each other next. Because, I mean, Amanda's already got a scheduled fight against Megan Anderson. So.
Right. Now, the rest.
Didn't they confirm that? Her and Megan Anderson are fighting?
I'm pretty certain, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they could fight.
Yeah, Nunes and Megan Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fighting.
All right. So, another thing that tapped. So, a little something that kind of binds these next two topics. So Holm was the first.
I hit this right here.
The first UFC and boxing champion ever. So
Holly
now,
Holm, yeah.
Yeah. On the women's side. So now on the men's side, we could get the next boxing champion and UFC champion. And that man could be Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor returning to the boxing ring against Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao.
Mm. This is not a rumor. This is looking.
This is.
I mean, if I had to put a number percentage wise on.
This is just
without
a date.
I'd say it's like 95% this is going to happen.
Well, I don't think. Yeah. Here's the deal. I didn't believe it until I saw Manny come out with a freaking public statement declaring that he will take the purse from this fight and donate it to the people of the Philippines that are affected by COVID right now.
Yeah,
like,
and he's saying that as a current senator there.
Like, you don't just say shit like that.
Yeah, and he's not just like he's a politician there as well. Like he's a big deal,
mm-hmm.
and that's a hell of a thing to say.
Yeah,
and this all started with, you know, Conor going on this weird rant with Dana White on Twitter is how this news broke,
mm-hmm.
because you know, and this goes back to this, you know, the season that Conor McGregor wanted to have, as he called it, at the beginning of this year, pre-COVID, where he wanted to fight multiple times. He called it a season. and he was in shape. And of course, he got the Cowboy Cerrone fight, goes out and demolishes him. Yep. And then he wanted to get right back to action, and he was calling for a fight in May with Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
And at the time, Diego Sanchez was weirdly calling out Conor McGregor as well. And at the time, Dana White says what? He comes out and says...
Well, that was when Diego had 3 wins in a row.
Yeah, that was when Diego had 3 wins in a row. But we didn't know that at the time, but this will come into relevance here in a minute. But publicly... Dana's at this time was saying what? That
Conor wasn't coming to the table. He's not fighting this year.
Yeah, he don't want to fight.
He's retired, all that shit.
Yeah. And even pre the retirement talk, Dana was saying Conor doesn't want to fight. And the way that Dana was spinning that was Conor was saying he didn't want to be a fill-in, that he wasn't a fill-in fighter for Tony and Khabib.
Yeah.
That he wanted to fight Justin prior to that. And then Tony or Dana comes back. We know this now because Conor releases fucking text messages on Twitter 5 or 6 days, 7, 8, 9, 10 days ago by the time you're listening to this. All right. This between him and Dana that says all this. It shows him dated asking for the Gaethje fight and then asking to fight Diego Sanchez after that.
Yeah.
Because he said he could fight Diego in Dublin in May.
Dublin, yeah.
And Dana kind of clowns on that in the text. It's like, yeah, we'd lose our promoter's license. And he's just like, well, who do I want to fight? I just want to fight.
Yeah.
So after that, Conor in a couple more tweets says, "Fook it all. I'm fighting Manny in the Middle East anyways." And then that's what starts this coming out about this fight, which at the time seemed like it might have been like you and I talked about it right after that. It seemed like it just might have been Conor.
Bullshit, yeah.
Conor saying shit on Twitter, because why would it come out that way? But since then,
Manny Pacquiao is... team has said that it's not signed yet, but that it's like terms are being agreed to.
Adi Attar, who is Conor's manager, who is also Manny's manager through Paradigm Management, which is the same company for both of these guys, goes on ESPN and confirms that the UFC is backing it.
Yeah.
It's not signed, but everybody wants to do this, and the UFC is on board as well.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, well, let's backtrack a little bit as well. 3 weeks ago, we sat here and talked about something that Dana White had said that the UFC has planned for Conor in 2021. That's really fun.
Yeah.
And then they said fighting, and they go, who knows? We'll see. So.
Clearly, I would say this is it.
And I do think this also could be the launch of Zuffa Boxing for the UFC.
It could be, because we've got now... in this little spat that came through this between Conor and Dana, we've got a little bit more information. Dana comes out at this press conference about how Conor broke the man code by releasing his texts and blah, 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 right? And he's like, it's the dirtiest thing you could do. Well, Conor then replies to that. Oh, and then he was asked about the Manny fight after saying that was so dirty. And he was like, I don't know anything about that. And then Conor, about 8 hours later, tweets that... the man code was broken. You were telling people I didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
And stop lying about the Manny fight. You have the legal papers for this.
Yeah.
Which.
It's going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen.
Now, the question becomes. So. The reason I say the championship thing. Don't get me wrong. This could be an exhibition. This could be, you know, just like how him and Floyd was.
Well, Floyd wasn't an exhibition. That was a real fight. It counted on everybody's record.
I know, but I'm saying like it was treated more of like an exhibition.
This is because Floyd came out of retirement and didn't have a belt. But this would be for Manny's title here.
I think this would be for his belt. Yeah, because
it would have to be.
Because
Conor wouldn't fight him not for the belt.
If you backtrack a little bit as well, Conor McGregor did a giant interview with Errol Hawani at the beginning of this year, right before the Cowboy fight.
Yes.
Where he said that at the end of this year, he's either fighting for the UFC belt or he's going to fight. He wants to fight for Manny's belt. And then Ariel goes, well, if you fight for a boxing title, aren't you going to have to fight multiple times? And he said no and laughed. And look at him now. He could be fighting for the WBC, right?
I do believe so.
Title against Manny Pacquiao without having anything more than a loss to Floyd Mayweather on his boxing record.
That's, I think, was the long-term plan behind, like, Like, people just think Connor's talking shit when he says things publicly, like on Twitter, that I'm retired now.
Yeah.
Because if he puts that out publicly, then behind the scenes with the UFC, he can flex the Ali Act for boxing. He's already got a boxing record. License, he's got a boxing license. Yeah. And when he's technically a retired MMA fighter that he's put out publicly, like, yes, it might not be official, but if it goes to a court process for arbitration, that type of thing would come into play, I believe. I'm no legal expert here, but I think that's his plan. I think that's why he says this stuff. Behind the scenes, he flexes the Ali Act if the UFC doesn't want to get on board. The UFC already lost this battle with the Floyd thing, which is why they agreed to that whole fucking shit. Mm-hmm. And now here they are. Dana might be saying bullshit he doesn't know about it, but behind the scenes, that's why Connor's saying you have the legal papers.
Yeah.
I think the legal papers Connor is referring to is shit that says, hey, I'm going to do this fight. You can be on board, or I'm going to enact the Ali Act on you.
Yeah, true. I never thought about it that way.
So I don't think that's why I think that fucking retirement wasn't just Connor talking shit. I think that was him starting to put this plan into motion and making sure that if the UFC fought him, he had some legal grounds to flex in arbitration.
That's actually smart. So, I never really thought about it that way.
Yes, sir. Do I think Conor McGregor can beat... how old is Manny? 46 now?
No. I think he's like 41, 42.
80, 83? No. Can he beat Manny?
Maybe.
I mean...
probably not, but he may.
It's been three... it'll be almost 4 years since the Floyd fight. And this will be time that Conor has spent learning from that experience and continuing to improve. And one thing we know about Conor McGregor is he's definitely a fighter who improves. He doesn't stay stagnant.
Yeah.
He's constantly improving. And I guarantee you he's been working on his boxing game because this isn't some new idea.
Yeah, no.
He's been thinking about that for a while.
You look up
he's 41. Manny Pacquiao's 41 years old. And his birthday is December. So by the time he rolls to this fight, he will be 42.
Yeah.
I was right.
You said
42. 46. Nah. You said 84, I did. I said 46. I was just trying to recover. Yeah, he'll be 42. So.
Yeah.
And he's 5'5". So Conor has a significant height advantage.
Yeah.
Over Manny. I mean, good grief.
What weight?
Conor's a big 5'9".
Well, weight
Conor's
class
head
is 154.
Gigantic.
What is the weight class?
He's 154, I do believe. Or 150. It's 50 or 54. Let's see.
I just need to know what weight class Conor needs to make.
Yeah, he is currently in office as a senator, too. So he has Senate duties. That's crazy, dude. That's why he would never come out and say...
that he's promising money.
Money and then, like, not be really fight. Serious that about the fight. That's, like, a really serious thing to come out and say. I'm trying to find his... weight he's at right now, but I'm just getting all this other info.
Yeah, I'll look at it.
Oh, he's super welterweight.
Which is?
It is super welterweight. I think it's 154.
Welterweight's 147, super welterweight's 154.
So, that's a good weight for Conor. He can make that pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance because Manny's just like Floyd, he's a little bit past his prime. I mean, he's still good. He's a current champ. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He just, you know, won a split decision against Terrence Crawford,
mm-hmm.
for goodness sakes.
Oh, not Terrence Crawford.
I got Crawford on the brain.
No. Now I lost it.
Oh, I'm behind on my boxing after this pandemic.
No, I know
here.
Who it is. I can't think of his name right now. I can think of his face. Porter, right? No, not Porter. He lost to fucking... God damn it. He fought Porter, though. Keith Thurman.
Thurman. That's who.
Manny beat Thurman. Yeah,
he got.
That was a close fight too.
It was a close fight. So, as this gets closer, we'll see. I'm curious how long the camp is. You know, Floyd was smart. He really rushed that camp. Like, he said yes, and then they were fighting in, like, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't the six-month buildup. It was, like, suddenly the show's on the road, and a lot of that time was spent on that promotional tour, which is taxing even for Connor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, he's good at it, but that's hard. That's taxing work getting out and doing that crap.
Oh,
in
yeah.
So many cities in the middle of training.
Especially that with, like, shit where it was, like, every other day it was a press conference.
Right. So I'm curious how this plays out as far as the training camps go, how long this has been behind the scenes going on. Maybe Connor has been in camp. I mean, before he even tweeted this, remember he sent that little video of him in a boxing ring?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's been little hints here coming along the way.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
It's definitely going down, and I think we're going to find out here. By the next show, I bet we have a date.
Think so, that quick?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's going to be somewhere around March of next year.
That'd be all right. That'd be a good build-up. It's lots of time.
March or April.
They're going to want to stretch it out a little bit in the hopes that a crowd
That's what I'm saying. There. That's why I think March or April.
So, you know, and I think they can easily do that. Look, if they're putting crowds in certain football stadiums, there's no reason why you couldn't have the fight in a football stadium with that same, you know, 7,000 people there or whatever it is, right?
I guess, yeah.
I mean,
it makes sense.
Not? Why not?
Yeah.
So it'd be outdoors. They could even do it, you know, maybe not in March, but outdoors, depending on where it is. Florida, yeah. Florida just is already loosening some of the regulations on sporting events to talk about wanting to have crowds back. So we'll see.
We'll see.
But that's a real deal. We're getting another Conor McGregor spectacle. I don't think it's going to be as successful as the Floyd Mayweather fight was, pay-per-view-wise. But
I think you meant, like, fight-wise. I think it could get pretty dicey if Manny were to land some nasty shit on Conor.
Yeah, you got to give Conor some credit. These guys might be a little bit over the hill, you could argue. But, dude, I mean, it's Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. He's not, like,
not when Manny's a sitting champion. I don't know if you could say that as a sitting champion.
Right. Floyd 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Floyd, I kind of get, though, you know, whatever it was in, you know, coming out of retirement, all the shit he did. But, yeah, I don't know.
We can both agree. I mean, Manny Pacquiao should win this fight.
Oh, yeah.
But there's always that hope that something crazy happens.
Oh, yeah.
And then Conor McGregor wins a boxing title, and then, of course, he will promptly retire from boxing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
He does not defend his belts, and I don't give a shit about it. A lot of people hate on it.
You're
going
to need a whole army of men to take that bitch away from him.
He will forever go down.
He'll forever pretend like he's not retired in boxing and, like, just fuck with people and be like, yeah, I'm going to fight Crawford next. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then never fight anybody.
No.
And just hold on to that belt for like a year and a half.
Yeah. Wait till they fucking strip his ass.
Yeah, right. Boxing does it pretty swiftly.
Or sometimes they serve up some pretty iffy mandatory challengers.
Yeah.
And there's probably some Connor could whoop up on in all serious. Depending. Yeah. You know.
Depending. There's also some guys that he maybe wouldn't want to fight at all because they would fucking ruin his name.
The WBC doesn't want to have Conor McGregor as their champ, though.
Yeah, I don't think so. It might not be WBC. I'm not
or
sure
WBA, though. Whatever it is.
Whatever it
I
is.
I just had it up. There's so many in boxing, I really don't care. I mean,
But here's the deal. I think this fight is a little bit more winnable than Floyd on the defensive side. On the puncher's chance side of things.
On the puncher's chance, yeah.
You know what I mean? We've seen Manny get knocked out before. We've seen him get knocked out cold.
So he is definitely. That's something we never saw with Floyd. I mean, people make big deals out of Floyd taking a punch.
Well, Floyd's only been dropped like once ever.
Yeah. Seriously, when Floyd takes a good punch, people are like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He got punched one time in that one fight.
Manny's been dropped by a few people.
Yeah, Manny's been slept. And his loss to people he should have beat, like Jeff Horn, you know, it was a controversial decision.
Controversial
as
fuck, yeah.
But, I mean, he's still, it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and then he's had, like, weird fight. The fights that he's lost have always been, like, rematches.
Mm-hmm.
Because, what, him and Margarito fought, like, 6 times, and then he fucking finally knocked Manny out, like, the 6th time. Then well, Bradley, I think that was the second or third time they fought, and that's when Bradley knocked him out. Like, so I don't know.
I'm excited, but I don't care.
I don't care
either. I love the spectacle.
It's a good time.
I love the what ifs.
I think Conor's going to look a lot more polished this time. I don't think you're going to see a lot of that bullshit that you saw last time with, like, the chopping fist punches and shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see any of that. I think you're going to see someone who's a lot more in tune with the rules in the game.
Hopefully he'll get a standing eight count should he come under fire instead of just getting
Well, if we're talking
off.
A legitimate title shot, this needs to be handled referee-wise by a legitimate referee that's not going to discount him because he's
Yeah, they
an
need
MMA
to act
fighter.
Like Conor knows what he's doing. If
they
he's
do,
going to get
he
KO'd,
does,
then
it's
let
not,
him
It's
KO.
Not that they need to act like
well,
it.
You're right. No,
they
he
need
does.
To call it down the middle.
Look, he went 10 rounds with Floyd. And to people that say that Floyd faked that whole thing and carried
him
is absurd.
Like,
that's
crazy.
Dude, just...
Stop it.
Focus back on the JFK killing and other conspiracies.
All your other
because that shit's nonsense, dude.
Bullshit.
Like, someone as careful as Floyd Mayweather has been with his career would never willingly risk going 10 rounds with a guy with a fucking laser for a left hand like Conor McGregor. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's not going to gamble all that so it looks good.
Yeah.
If he would prefer to take Conor out in round one, should it be that easy?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even need to go there.
Yeah.
Those people are also probably flat earthers. So... So yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, no, Conor's legit. He can box him up. Can he beat Manny? I doubt it. But man, I'm gonna root for him and hope so. And if he does, it'll be the coolest thing ever. I think
it'd be crazy.
It'll just be crazy.
It'd be nuts.
We'll be talking all about that.
Oh yeah,
it'll be one of those just legendary things.
It would definitely go down in history as one of the biggest upsets ever.
Oh my god, and just the chance of that happening for me.
I think
is
he opened
to
like
excited.
6-1 underdog or something like that.
I'll probably throw a bill on Conor no matter what. Just cause, you
just
know.
Just cause.
Well, so also tied in with Conor though, right? Because you almost can't mention this without talking about Conor. Let's shift over to Nate Diaz and some of these other fights because they all kind of tie together, right?
Yep.
Nate Diaz is in the conversation because the BMF title was supposedly going to get made.
Yeah.
With him and Jorge Masvidal in January-ish, to the point where this week Diaz releases this really cool video on
his
social
media
called Round 4, a clear allusion to the Round 4 that didn't happen in the other BMF title.
Tim training, all the highlights of him from the fight.
Yeah. The problem with that is this is released a little bit too soon, I think, because we've had Colby Covington come out and wallop Woodley, call out Masvidal, and now the UFC seems openly behind it. Like, it seems to be the fight
There's
to make.
There's history there. That's
There's
why.
History there. The public is more behind
Those
it.
Those kind of fights always sell the best.
And Nate released this great video, but like 2 weeks too late, man, because
I was expecting more
Colby's
shit
come out.
Them,
yeah. Colby's come out and stolen the spotlight with a better story, and you've got Dana already saying, hey, that fight will always be there, which he probably truly believes, just like the Conor fight. And Nate is already, in Dana's mind, a pain in the ass to work with. So he's not going to bend over real easily to get Nate to come to the board when you've got Colby chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing with that, though. I do agree with you that that's the fight to make. But I do not agree with you that that's the easier fight to make. Because whereas, it's a great story, and yes, Colby's chomping at the bit mentally, but no negotiation that includes Colby Covington or George Masvidal in the last two to four years has ever gone well.
Yeah, these are two guys that know their value, and they're willing to hold out for it until in the UFC... Unfortunately, lately has been a lot more able to say fuck off with the COVID than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Masvidal only got the title shot because of COVID.
Yeah.
And because the UFC basically told him
away.
No.
Yeah.
They said, no, we're not paying you that. And Colby missed like over a year due to contract disputes.
Yeah. More than that. So I think it was like a year.
It might have been 18 months.
Yeah. Like
it was a good
before
hump.
The Robbie fight. Yeah. It was a long fucking time.
That's why the Robbie fight was such a big deal because he was like
he beat RDA and then fucking it had to be about 18 months.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
So you're right there. There is a potential for this to get held up.
Yeah,
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that due to the current situation and the actual momentum that's going on here, that these guys will come to the table and the UFC might
at least do two of them, something. Whether it be Nate and him.
Can you at least pay Colby him what you him, paid him before?
Like yeah.
I mean, Nate's got like $1 million before. Can you just do that before? It's another BMF thing. Give him what you gave the other guys.
Exactly.
I think both those dudes would probably be happy with that, being as that's more than their disclosed pay has been in the past.
Yeah, it's been. But then again, that whole thing we talked about before, when it comes to disclosed pay. Oh, we got
this platinum OG in this right here.
Oh, yeah. Disclosed pay is bullshit.
Well, right now, as much as I love Nate Diaz, and as much as I'm intrigued by both brothers returning, I think that video is too late. I think this fight is gone. I think the UFC is 100% making the Colby fight, barring any contract negotiation issues. Because they're going to be even worse with Nate. It's not like Nate's waiting in the wings to take less pay.
Yeah.
You know, he'd probably fucking argue he's a bigger deal than both those guys still. So, and he would have a point, maybe. So, but that's neither here nor there.
I think this happens. Kings, you know?
Yeah. I think this happens. I'm a little bummed, but I'm also excited because I really like that fight. Yeah. I think the history is there.
Yeah.
I think the stylistic matchup is there. And right now, I got to lean towards Colby in this mythical fight here.
I don't know if I lean towards Colby because I don't know what George knows. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what their trading sessions went like. I don't know what – you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would need some – I don't know. It's a coin flip for me. I agree with you. Colby has a lot of great – like, things that could possibly shut Masvidal down. But at the same time, when you train with someone for over 10 years, you find...
And your former, you know, good friends.
I don't think it was 10 years, but it was somewhere friends. Around there.
There's a good segment of the MMA community that still believes this is a bit of a work and hopes to get a fight like this.
It's not when they leave gyms.
Yeah, that lends more credence to it now that Colby's gone.
You wouldn't change your whole professional like outlook and coaching and like because like we talked about last.
I was leaning into more it being a bit of a work up until what Colby left this gym not like what 3-4 months ago.
Nah, like 6 months ago.
6 months ago. It's hard to tell time in the middle of this nonsense. Seriously, I mean, can you believe the year's almost over, dude?
I know.
Like. We just got the COVID news at the beginning of the year, and now the year's over. What the hell happened?
It's crazy.
But, yeah, it's probably real, I would say, at this point.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because if not, you guys just fucking... Because if not, I think Colby really made a mistake by leaving that camp. Because, like I said last week, I think Conan Silvera was the best coach for him. And that's another thing, is now you leave that camp... And George is still there, and you're going to fight? Not only does George know what he knows, but now everybody in the gym that's ever worked with Colby ever knows exactly what his tendencies are, what he does, and what he's capable of. And there's something to be said for familiarity.
There is. Of course, you could say the same thing in Colby's favor, though.
But I think where Masvidal has the upper hand is Colby left and Masvidal stayed with the people that both them were involved with rather than let's say if it was a huge blow up and both guys went their separate ways and they went to two different camps. I'd agree with you, but I think he has the upper hand because he's still at American Top Team.
Well, I hope this fight gets made. And I think that the best thing Nate Diaz could do in the meantime is find a fucking fight to take.
Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, maybe if he can get that fight. It was on the table before.
I think that would be the sickest fight. Or what if Nate Diaz fights Michael Chandler?
Ooh. That'd be something.
He said he's here for a good time, not a long time.
That would be something. You know, I have a question about Michael since you brought him up here.
I can debunk your question right away.
No, I'm just curious. Why isn't Michael Chandler got the 6-month USADA pool thing?
Because
how can he be an alternate?
He's a part of VADA and WADA.
He's already
he's
in documented testing.
Yeah, he's in the voluntary one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're just applying that like he's been.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yep.
I was just curious. I didn't know that. I didn't think it was like a conspiracy. I just didn't know. Like,
his last six fights have been supervised over VADA and WADA.
Well, then why is he getting so many of these fucking steroids?
Because people are haters. Just fucking someone bitches? Who is a lifelong athlete, like, literally, he's not just, like, one of these guys, like, you know, who was all right and, you know, he came up and he's 500 in wrestling and, you know, he was had his ups and downs and, you know.
You know, like, now like a Mike Perry or something.
Yeah, no. This motherfucker has been a high-level athlete, national championship-level athlete since he was fucking 13. Like, come on. People, like, they just need to shut the fuck up. He's had the highest level of training since he was a kid, man. He's been fucking training at the Olympic Training Center. He went to Missouri, which is, like, one of the top schools in the nation. Like, he was there with, and, like, he trained with Kamaru Usman since they were, like, fucking kids, man. Like, Ben Askren, all those guys.
Yeah.
Tyron Woodley, all of them. They all have been wrestling together. Like, people don't understand how much wrestling is a community. Like, yeah, I think, like, mixed martial arts is its own community, but, like, wrestling is so tight-knit no matter wherever the fuck you live. Like, I've wrestled with kids that are from fucking, like, Florida, New York, Maine, Delaware, places. I've gone to tournaments where kids ask me if I live in a fucking hotel. Like, that's how much reach you have. Like, you go all over the fucking, when you wrestle, you go everywhere. Like, literally, all over the place. Especially if you start as a kid. Because, like, one thing is, like, wrestling doesn't have a lot for people later on in life if you're not, like, a world championship.
Yeah, it's all wrestler. Front heavy with you.
But when you're a kid, there's so much opportunity. And there's so many tournaments and so many things you can do to just, like, make yourself better.
Right.
And Michael Chandler and Usman and Colby and all those guys grew up in that system. So they all know each other. They all have, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, for people to just, like, think this guy is using steroids because he's muscular, it's bullshit. He's been training his whole fucking life.
And, like, he's been being top-level tested by...
Yeah,
I mean,
forever. Yeah.
And at least in Bellator for his last six fights, you said. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's something he said to Okamoto, so I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that interview. Yeah, the ESPN interview. Yeah, yeah.
So, well, people need to shut up with that shit. And I do think, like, I thought the same thing with the USADA thing until he said that about the WADA.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. There's my rant of the day.
Well, we had a couple announced fights. One in particular that I thought was pretty exciting, and one, I mean, let's keep our fingers crossed, but it keeps getting rescheduled over and over again. And let's go there. That's the Thiago Santos, who we were talking about earlier at 205 pounds.
First Glover Teixeira.
He's got to get past Glover Teixeira here, who we've seen this fight canceled due to the virus now multiple times, like three times, I believe.
Now finally on November 7th.
Yeah, now November 7th, which is still pretty far out. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, shit.
And that should determine the next contender for the aforementioned Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Polish power, fame, my guy, dude. I'm really a fan of Jan. Ever since
I fuck with him.
When he laid out Luke Rockhold like that, after Rockhold was just dissing him, and then he went out and just melted that fool.
That was pretty sick.
I really jumped on the Jan train.
Yeah,
I loved
that. He stepped
his
game up for sure.
Rockhold just rubbed me wrong, dude.
Well, it's kind of how Dominic was at the beginning of going into this fight too. Is kind of similar to Rockhold.
What are these guys like to clown on this guy? They got to feel like a dumbass.
Well,
because
you know what it
man.
Is. He's a guy who's quiet. He puts his head down and goes to work. And he's had some ups and he's had some downs in his career. And now, right now, he's on a huge upswing. But they want to just continue to talk about all the downswings he's had and focus on those rather than all the progress he's made.
Dude, it's MMA, man. Shit, people can evolve late in the game.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Not everyone can. Some never do.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think the winner of this definitely should get him next.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed that goes through.
Yep.
And the other fight that was announced, which, man, the more I've thought about it over the past few days, like, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I hope it's a main event.
I don't
like it probably won't be, but if they did it as a fight night main event, that would be great. And we're talking about a 170-pound contest between Mike Perry and former champ Robbie Lawler. And I think this is one of the best matchups you could make right now.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a barn burner.
This This is a good fight for both guys because a win over each other is a legitimate win.
Yeah, and still, they're going to fucking throw down.
And man, are they going to throw down. Mm-hmm. Like,
I can't wait.
It's fireworks anytime Mike Perry steps in, win or lose. He's proven that time and time again. He might be a bit of a fool outside the cage, but he's a professional cage fighter. What do people expect? Yeah, I never understand this when people are so shocked that, like, that some a professional cage fighter lost his temper.
He got into a somewhere. Fight at a bar and grill.
Right. An old man rushed him, and he slept him with a left hook as the old
after
man rushed him.
The old
him.
Man rushed him and, like,
and he was a big ass old man, by the way.
And told him, fuck with me. Like,
yeah. I mean, people talk all the shit on Perry for that punch, but if you've seen a video, the guy tells Perry, like, I'm going to knock
you out.
What are you
going to do? I'll knock you out. Yeah, you
and Perry's like, don't fuck with me or some shit. And then the dude rushes him and gets slept.
And he's like, oh my God.
And then the story
is, he's like,
I'm
staying for the cops because I know what I did. I know what happened.
But the story we all get is spun, Mike Perry punches old man in restaurant.
That's fucked up. Like,
okay, well, that's technically true.
It's true. But
the guy was older. He did punch him in a restaurant.
But he was provoked.
Not exactly how it went down.
It's not like he was charged with assault or anything.
Right. And how
he
can
defend himself? And isn't, like, Florida, aren't you supposed to, like, be able to stand your ground or some bullshit like
right.
that?
Right. So that's why, like, Perry's not sitting somewhere for assaulting an old man. Because it wasn't that old, and he was big, and he rushed him after threatening
him. And there was video evidence.
It's all on tape.
Yeah.
So, I mean, say what you want. He does act a fool sometimes, but whatever.
Yeah. He's a good fighter.
He throws down. He's a good fighter.
And Robbie, he might be a little bit over the hill, but he's always down for a slugfest.
Shit, we're not talking about a championship fight here. No disrespect to Mike Perry, but this is the kind of fight Robbie Lawler should be taking. It's a
Robbie's
fun fight.
Robbie's like 1-5 in his last fight.
Yeah, and it's not
bad.
He's not fighting the top tier.
Mike is too, though. Mike's had some down, some freaking shit fights.
No, he has. He's lost here.
Yeah.
But that's why I think the matchup is perfect. This is no one's getting a title shot off this. You're not fucking the division up in any way. This is just a couple straight up warriors who still have enough, I think, for each other.
Yeah. Well, Mike Perry definitely does.
Please make it a fight night five round.
Fuck.
Please.
Mike Perry can't go five rounds, bro.
Maybe.
No,
let's find out, man. He can go five rounds with Robbie Lawler.
Nah.
He's a beast.
I don't think that round goes out of the first.
He'll let his girlfriend in his corner just telling him, you can do it, honey. He'll be like, okay.
All right,
actually,
cool.
It's his fiance now.
Yeah.
Did you see him? He's all releasing shit on social media. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm going to be serious. His girlfriend's pregnant. He's like, I'm going to be a grown-up now.
Aww.
Just straight up.
Look at that.
Yeah. He's doing pictures of him and his girl, like a cute couple. Like, look at us. We're a couple.
Wow.
I'm mature now.
I
mean, good for him. I'm just saying. But that's real, though.
Real.
It is real. When you're like, I'm going to have a kid, it is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But
so to close out the show today, let's talk a little bit about the Charlo brothers. Both coming off pretty good wins here.
Man, what an event put on by Showtime.
Yeah, for
sure. I mean, UFC should take note. I mean, I guess they did some big events, too. I never mind. I take that back. But this is the way I like to see my boxing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, damn, bro.
The card was filled.
The card was filled. And we get both brothers, you know, in the main and the co-main, basically.
Yeah. Jamal gets the decision over Dermanchenko, which was a fight that was, like, kind of he controlled it, but there was definitely some pushback. It wasn't just all him all night. Dermanchenko gave him, you know, a run for his money, but ultimately just outpointed him.
It was a decision, but it was like 117, 111, 118, 110.
They rocked each other both a couple times.
And they went back and forth. Like it was
I think it was round 8 or something.
It was Charlo's toughest test to take,
bro.
Toughest test to date, I would say.
Well, and then also if you look at him, he's a guy who's fought for the belt twice now. Although he's got three losses now with Charlo, but he's fought Triple G, he's fought what's his name? Danny fucking Jacobs. Danny Jacobs.
Yeah, he's coming
Triple
off
G.
Those.
Yeah.
Those are his only two losses. And I mean,
well, now, so it's like that guy's got championship experience. So it's a good fight for him. It was a good performance.
Yeah, it's probably his last title shot for a while. Is this three in a row now that he's lost at 160?
But
dude, Charlo looked great.
Yeah.
Defense looked really smooth. Mm-hmm. Counters looked good. He hangs on to that WBC title.
Could be some
and
unification
shines in
bounce.
A big spotlight. And speaking of unification bouts, that brings us to his brother,
yep.
who did unify the titles. and
in dominant
put
fashion.
On a very, very dominant fashion.
Dropped him multiple times.
Yeah, against Jason Rosario.
Yeah.
And Rosario, he ultimately wins the fight with just a sick jab to the liver.
Oh, yeah. Freaking.
Like, he's literally had him dry left Rosario dry heaving on the canvas. Like, twitching crazy. And dry heaving. Like, it was some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a statement right there.
Absolutely.
And now we've got a unified champion there with three belts. So we've got the two brothers bringing home a total of four belts.
Mm-hmm.
Great thing for boxing. These guys are highly marketable.
Oh, yeah.
They're very skillful.
Mm-hmm.
They're just all around an exciting event.
Well, and then the big thing is they're putting on the performances that get you the big names. You know what I mean? That get you to that level to where you're selling crazy pay-per-view numbers.
I don't know who holds the fourth belt off the top of my head in that division, but if we could get that fight and then get a total unification, that would be awesome.
Just look it up real quick.
It's
is it Harris?
I'm not certain.
Oh, no, he lost, didn't he?
You know, when we were pre-pandemic here and doing regular articles and stuff for the boxing, we were way much more on top of the scene.
What weight class is it doing?
But I admit now, you know, it's a little bit behind. It's 160. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, 154. Oh, wait, is it Manny's belt?
Might be.
Yeah, it's Manny's belt. It's the WBC belt, isn't it?
Let's see. No. Jamel just beat Rosario.
Yeah.
So he had the W. Let me see.
There's too many belts in boxing. I mean, that's a cliche to say these days, but it's true.
Yeah, there's this dude, Patrick Teixeira, has the WBO. And then there's two parts of the WBA, but Jermell just took the WBA and the IBF. So then there's also another guy who has, I guess, would be the silver belt.
That's a junior belt. It don't count for shit.
Yeah, Manny has the 147 belt.
Manny has a 147.
Damn, belt. So okay. Connor would have to make 147.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I was wondering, that 154 seemed big for Manny at 5'5", yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a welterweight belt. Yeah, so it would make a lot of sense, maybe. See what happens.
I hope so. I like unified titles.
Yeah, I do too.
Especially when one there's face, just one name, so one title. Frigging many in boxing. I think it's more so important many. Now than yeah. even it
it's
was.
It's hard to
know,
chase
them
around, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So it was a great night. There was some other great fights on the card I don't feel like getting into just because it's a little bit much here. You know what I mean? We're going to ease our way back into more boxing coverage and ease our way back into as we get more along. Fights going.
And some big boxing matches coming up in the near future, which we'll dive right into as well.
I know. We had a potential boxing show on the table here. We don't know. The COVID might have knocked it out permanently. Yeah. But either way, we're going to be talking about more and more boxing here on SWAT MMA as it's coming back to life here with the rest of combat sports.
Yep.
So that's it for the show today.
Sounds good.
Hope you're all smoking something good. We're going to finish off this Platinum OG here. If you're new to the show, you can catch us on all your major podcast outlets, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. There's video on YouTube. You can find all of this information and all of these links in one handy place.
SWATMMA.com, where you can head over to the gear button, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, and support the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks, folks.
Peace.
Peace.